As many of you know, our pastor Phil and Fiona Demas have adopted or are in the process of adopting a young baby boy. He was to be born, supposed to have been born Monday or Tuesday of this week, but he came early. So, Josiah Alec Demas, 7 pounds, 4 ounces, 19 inches long, and they are on their way down to Tupelo Children's Mansion to take and pick up their new baby. So excited for them. Mashanda Fisher, which is Fiona's mother. I don't know if she's in here or not, but she just recently, this past week, took her nursing boards and is now a licensed nurse in the state of Wisconsin. So excited, congratulate her, and she's a grandma all in the same week. I know Sister Julie Tao back here helped Sister Mashanda. I kept wondering, whose vehicle is that here all the time? Every day I'd get here and the Subaru out there, and my wife asked me one day, and I said, I'm not for sure whose that is. Found out later it was Sister Julie. She was here helping Sister Mashanda study for her test. And thank you very much for all of the assistance, Sister Julie. Isn't God's kingdom just an awesome, awesome kingdom? I'm not going to preach very long this morning, but I want to just share with you a very personal story, if I could. We're having our ministry fair today, and we wanted to give all of our congregation, we've had it on Wednesday nights in the past. We've had a very good turnout, but a lot of you can't make it to our Wednesday evening service, and we wanted all of our church to be able to take and see exactly what happens here at Calvary Gospel Church in ministry, give you an opportunity to get involved in ministry. We spoke last Wednesday evening. We spoke on the topic of a Spirit-filled ministry. We're doing a series on Spirit-filled life, Spirit-filled church. We spoke about Spirit-filled ministry, and I feel that it's not an option as far as you and I as children of Jesus Christ or his disciples, however you want to word yourself or put yourself in whatever terminology, but I do not feel that it's an option as far as getting involved in the kingdom of God. I believe Jesus commanded us in Matthew, the chapter 28, he referred to what he considered or what we call his Great Commission or the Great Commission. Actually, he shared the Great Commission, but it's our responsibility to follow that commission out. So when we refer to it as, well, this is Jesus Christ's Great Commission, really it's our Great Commission. It's our responsibility. It's something that he left for us to do. It's what we're commanded to do, to go ye therefore into all the world and preach this gospel. A lot of times we look at all the world and we see that the world is such a large place, it's such a daunting task, but we can break that down and just put it in very simple terms to go ye into all of Madison and preach the gospel. Go to Park Street, go to Revival Ridge, go to the west side, go to the east side, go to the north side, go to the isthmus, go to the campus. Go to your neighborhood, go to the restaurant, go to your doctor's office, go to the laundromat, wherever you go, be an example and preach and teach the gospel. So how do we do this? How do we, in order to fulfill that Great Commission, how do we start with this? Well, the first area that we have to get started in is we actually just have to involve ourselves in it. You see, involvement in the Great Commission begins with salvation. You see, it's very difficult to teach something if you're not living that something. And I believe that Jesus Christ, the reason that he came here was to seek and to save that which was lost, mankind has a sin issue. We had a sin issue all the way back in the Garden of Eden. It's where it started, and we've had a sin issue all the way through every generation of man, every family. There's no exemptions on the sin issue. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So in order for us to become involved in ministry and to become involved in the Great Commission, we cannot teach something if we don't live that something. So it begins with repentance. Repentance is simply asking the Lord to forgive us for the sins in our lives that we have committed, no matter what they may be. Then we're baptized. Being baptized in water, behind this wall behind me is a baptismal tank. We go down in water, our sins are washed away. The scripture tells us that as far as the east is from the west, the Lord forgets our sins. He forgets our transgressions, where we've transgressed against him. And I'm so thankful for that this morning, that when I make a mistake, when I sin and I go to repentance and I ask the Lord to forgive me, that he doesn't bring that back up and throw it in my face the next day. We human beings, we have a tendency to not want to allow people to forget their transgressions. We like to build that up, keep score. I'm so thankful that the Lord doesn't keep score. So, and then he gave us the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Spirit. That's just the beginning of our relationship. It's just the beginning of our commission. The next part is to make disciples of all men. So how does that happen? Well, we saw some folks here that during the offering, they got up and they went into various classes, our 101, 201, 301. So they go into those classes, and in those classes is where the discipleship process starts. We teach them. This is where ministry comes in. So how do I get involved? Where do I start? What am I supposed to do here? You may be asking that question this morning. What I'd like to do is just share with you my life as a minister. You see, I just didn't wake up one day and this is where I ended up. This was a process. And it all started with teaching. All started with teaching. I'm going to get emotional in this because it's hard not to. That's just who I am. That's kind of the way I am. But it started, if I could title this little sermonette this morning, I'd like to title it, His Name Was Steve. His name was Steve. Steve was a very active 3-year-old boy. He was in my wife's Sunday school class. She was having a difficult way of finding a way or finding help, trying to figure out how do I teach this young boy. Very active. She was feeling that she was not getting through, and she desired to teach this young boy the word of God. She would come home and she would say, "Boy, I don't know how. I'm a girl. I don't know how to relate. We had a daughter," and she's like, "I'm trying to take and figure out how I can better relate to this young 3-year-old." And kind of out of desperation, she asked me if I would sit in her Sunday school class to see if I could help out with this young boy. So I was, at the time, understand, I was somewhat cold, I was somewhat backslidden, I didn't like to come into the main sanctuary on Sunday mornings and listen to the bishop preach or our pastor preach, and I felt conviction, and I didn't like the feeling of conviction. So if I could take and somehow maybe find a way to talk, you know, you can tell the people that want to avoid being in here, because they go out and you can see them talking in the vestibule and they walk back and forth. You see them a dozen times, or they go back there and they're standing. I'm not making any comments towards the folks standing in the back now, but they hold up the sound booth back there, and there are many times I felt like the sound booth could not support itself unless I was holding on to it. So we find our places to go around the building so that we don't have to be in listening to the preacher as he preaches. And so I was looking for, I guess I could say, kind of a way out. So I went into her Sunday school classroom and I began to observe, and I thought, well, you know, maybe I can just be of some help in here. So I quickly, I obliged to help. I told her that I sure, I'll give you a hand. But at that time, I really had no idea what I was getting into. Here I am, a 30-year-old man. I'm playing on the floor. I'm roaring like a lion. Little kids are climbing all over me. I'm the donkey. I'm Balaam's donkey. I'm the donkey that carried Jesus Christ in the triumphal entry. And kids are climbing. I'm roaring out. I'm Goliath sometimes. I'm roaring from underneath the table with burlap hanging over because I'm the roaring lions that are in the lion's den, and Daniel is thrown in. So here I am, a 30-year-old man acting like a little child in Sunday school. And all the while, my wife would tell the stories. If given the opportunity, I would sit this young little lad, Steve, on my lap. My wife would tell her story. And after story time, it was snack time. She would bring out the cookies, and I would take my cookies and sit alongside in a little tiny chair designed for 2 and 3 year olds, and I would eat my cookies and have my milk or Kool-Aid with young Steve. We played games together. We colored pictures together. And after every Sunday, our picture went on the bulletin board. And we would post those pictures, and we were so proud of what we had colored. All the while, as God began to work in the life of this little boy, God began to use this little boy to work in the life of my life. And it's something how God can use ministry, how God can use things, children, to take and change the lives of adults. You see, I had allowed bitterness and hardness and frustrations and such to build up within my life. And over a period of time, as the months went by, I noticed that that bitterness and some of that hardness, some of the frustrations that I've had, begin to fade away. As the months passed, young Stephen began to call. He became very attached. We became buddies in Sunday school, but not just buddies in Sunday school. We were buddies in church. You see, God was using him to get to me. And the walls within my life began to fall one by one. I began to go back and begin to pray, and I begin to fast. I begin to read my Bible more, and I begin to seek after God in a whole different way. You see, I had made a promise to God that whatever he required of me, I would do. And no matter where I have to go, God, I will go, and whatever I have to do, I will do. It was in the early months of 1997. As I began to yield myself to God, that God began to change my life. You see, it was in 1997 that Stephen was promoted to the next class. And as Stephen was promoted, I got promoted. I didn't go to the next class. By then, my life had begun to change, and God began to move in my life, and I was asked to go to the junior high class. And I co-taught with Brother Glenn Useman. Brother Glenn Useman was in the junior high class. And I think it was Sister Armenti Moore at the time, and Brother Glenn and myself. And I went in, and whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to teach, whatever you ask of me, I will do. And I began to help out in the junior high class. And you see, it wasn't long after that, and God moved us again. But you see, God's starting place for me was in the nursery classroom and the 2 and 3 year olds. But you see, God, as God calls you into ministry, and as you begin to walk around this ministry fair today and you begin to look at the various ministries to get involved in, wherever you get involved in is a starting point. It's not necessarily an end destination. It's a starting point. As I got started in the nursery class and the junior high class, and then the bus ministry, and then the youth ministry, and then campus ministry, and building maintenance, school administrator, our daycare came along, or our child care came along and assisted in getting that started, and became the student ministry director. All of this took a number of years. It started in 1997. Now we're looking at the mid-2000s. Became a board member, was asked to be a member of the church board. After that, I was asked to be on the pastoral staff as an associate pastor and then an assistant pastor and then a co-pastor and now senior pastor. But you see, God has a plan for every one of us. God has a ministry for every one of us. There is a ministry that is waiting this morning, and it is waiting just for you. As I share this simple story with you, this young boy, Steve, is actually here today. He's actually here today. He's no longer a young boy. He's grown up. But he's sitting right over here with his mom and dad, John and Patty Gebinder. And the young boy is Steve. You see, you never know what kind of an impact you can have or what your ministry can have on you. I sometimes wonder today, perhaps, where my life would be if it were not for a little fragile ex-boy named Steve. I wonder what turns my life would have made. I wonder if I would even be here at all. But you see, a little boy named Steve. And as we close this morning, I would like for you to just stand to your feet, if you could. I want to give everyone an opportunity before we leave here and we go out and begin fellowshipping. If you're a guest of ours, it's an honor to have you here this morning. We'll be in the fellowship hall and in the vestibule. Our coffee shop will be open. You can get yourself some snacks and such. We'll have some time of fellowship. I want you to walk through this ministry. It's really more than just a ministry fair. Every ministry that's representing and represented here today reaches out into all kinds of areas of our city. You see, our city, our church is full of little boys named Steve. Our city is full. Our neighborhoods are full of families. Families, they're full of moms and they're full of dads and grandmas and grandpas. They're full of people. And these people need to hear the gospel. And the only way they're going to hear the gospel is if we take it to them. They all can't fit here. So, as you begin to think, and as you begin to process the words that have been spoken this morning, perhaps in your life you can think of someone. Maybe it's not a little boy. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's a relative, but there's someone in your life that needs Jesus Christ. This morning you may be here and you may say, I've never repented, I've never been baptized, I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor Roy, when you talk about the Holy Spirit. I want to open up this altar. When I say open up this altar, this area down front, we have altar workers that will come and pray with you. Before we make a decision to walk out of here this morning, I want you to make a decision. I need Jesus Christ in my life. That's the starting point this morning. You want to make a difference in the world? You want to change the world? Everybody wants the world to change, but nobody wants to change themselves. The hardest people are in the world to change are people that don't feel like they even have a need to change. But I believe that God is here this morning and He's calling out your name, just as He's called out my name. And He's challenging you this morning. What are you going to do in my kingdom? What part of this commission are you going to fulfill? Are you going to let weeks and months and years pass and sit by idly as neighbors, families, and friends slip into eternity? I'm not trying to make you feel guilty this morning. This is the reality of life. So I want to invite you down front before you go to the ministry fair. If you're not involved in ministry, or maybe you're involved in ministry right now, but you feel God is calling you into something deeper. Maybe you've grown to the point to where it's time for you to move on, but you don't want to get out of that zone of comfort. We all like to stay in that comfort zone. We don't like to experience new things. Maybe God is trying to call you into a new area of ministry in your life. So won't you come this morning?
No place I'd rather be.
Is God calling you this morning?
No place I'd rather be.
Challenging you this morning?
No place I'd rather be.
At the conclusion of prayer, maybe you don't want to come down to the front, but spend some time in prayer in your chair, your seat.